Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Hey, I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg, and this is Side Note,
a podcast where every episode we chat about life and what's stumping us right now.
And then we research and splice in all the science and mind-blowing shiznit throughout so you are entertained while simultaneously learning.
Today, we're talking about Louis C.K. I remember the time I first heard him use the F-bomb, as in the word related to gay people. We're going to say that a bunch on today's show, so hopefully you're okay with that. Greg tells a really intense story about doing stand-up with a bunch of douchey dudes, and then we debate whether or not Louis C.K. should even be allowed to do comedy.
Okay, so what did we learn this week?
What did we learn this week?
Okay, this is what I think I learned about this week, because I spent a lot of time with Ernie, our puppy, and it was by myself for the first time because Greg was away for work, and I feel like it's a mix of things. I learned like a little bit more patience because it was a lot harder to do it on my own. And then secondly, you kind of see the result of just like consistency and structure in
a dog. Which you do not love. I love a structure.
You're right. I think I don't love it sometimes, but then when I saw the result of it, I was really happy that it was like coming together. Because at the beginning of the week, because it was a new structure, like it was just me having to do all the things.
Chaos.
It was really chaotic, and I felt like he was actually chaotic and not like being bad, but like I was getting frustrated.
Bad doggy.
Bad girl, bad boy, whatever. And then he eventually sort of like to listen and get the schedule, and by the end of the week I actually like the last 2 days I was just like so happy, and we were just like playing and cuddling, and we were on walks, and it was great. And so
he's teaching
just,
you structure into it. This is like a really backdoor way of me being like, yes, structure.
Yeah, so it was just nice. It's a nice reminder that like sometimes things that you want to happen right away just don't, and it's really frustrating. It just takes like micro transactions through many days, many years, many whatever to see results.
And then that is life. And
I
then
feel
you
like
die.
That is a nice lesson for life. You know, you want to learn something, you really just have to put in that time. You want to lose weight or gain muscle, it's like you want the results now, but you just have to start.
You just have to put in
put
the time
over long periods of time. So that's what I learned. What did you learn?
Oh my God, I love how you just like learned something simple, but then it turned you into like, oh my God, you're gonna get
a
so jacked
lesson.
And so smart. Well, I feel like I bring this up all the time, but I, like, what I really learned is that like the entertainment industry is an industry, And so because we were in New York, it was very interesting because we got to work with some really awesome people, including Dorea McKesson, Danielle Brooks from Orange is the New Black, and literally my Beyonce, which is Kid Fury from my favorite podcast, The Read. Uh-huh. So Crystal is also the other host of the podcast, who's also my Beyonce, but it was insane. We were so nervous. Rachel, our producer, also is obsessed with him. My point is that, like, you glorify these people and this industry so much in your head. I always have done it my whole life, like literally bawled my eyes out, you know, to every pop star ever, hashtag gay. But then you see it and it's like, they were so good. I loved working with them. They were so helpful, but they're exhausted.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not that fun to show up somewhere and have to like learn lines immediately. Like, it just makes you realize that all these people that you like watch them just like perform at the VMAs or something, and you're like, their job is so sweet. Like, they just, you just glorify this industry so much, but it's actually really hard. It's full of anxiety, and like they were so great to us, but we were asking them to do something really challenging, and they're just like putting myself in their shoes. I'm like, yeah, this sucks. They're showing up trying to like deliver science lines to a camera. Like, I'm sorry. I put them through it, but I learned.
Hopefully they enjoyed it. I wasn't there, so I don't know. But I mean, hopefully the end result is worth the pain.
Oh yeah, and I think that it was a really important video that they were happy to contribute to. My point is just like, do not obsess over these people. It's a glorified job, and like honestly, like I don't know, it's just more challenging than it looks.
Yeah, fair. I mean, we feel that, I feel. Like, you see the behind the scenes. It's actually a big challenge.
The BTS footage is depressing.
Well, speaking of the industry, today our topic is very related to that. We are chatting about Louis C.K.
Who was back
in the news, back in the headlines, back performing. So
when we were in New York, too, I was like, should I burn it down?
Was it there? Was it when you were there?
Yeah, well, we got there the day after, but yeah.
Okay, well, why don't we get into a little story time right now and see what happens.
Story time.
Story time. Story time. Story time.
We made a jingle. Like,
how was
there,
it?
Like,
finally put it together after like how many months?
We're not in an old bathroom right now. We're in like a very classy studio.
Oh yeah, we like fully bought like a $10 million studio.
My
here we are. We're
left
not.
Leg is not on where, like, a, where toilet a toilet should be. Which it like actually cat. Isn't as disgusting when you look at it. It looks like there's barf in it, but I think it's insulation, right? It looks like dry barf. Anyways, what? Moving on.
Okay, so my first experience with Louis C.K. well, I guess it was maybe like, it was right when we were starting ASAP Science. Just before then, I think, was the first time I'd ever seen him. I was actually like living with a bunch of YouTubers at the time, and they played one. They had one of his specials on DVD, and I at the time I thought he was really funny. But I do remember like really distinctly that in one moment, like he had his joke about faggot, like the word faggot, and being around all people, I was the only gay person in this group of people, and I could instantly feel the room of people like everyone kind of looks to me to be like, can he say that? Ugh. Like, do you find it funny? Like, they don't want to laugh until I laugh. And at the time, I don't know, this is probably something we can debate about too, but like I remember being a little confused because I was just like, I understand the joke and I'm okay with comedy sometimes pushing limits, but yeah, I don't know. And he was, if you've never heard the joke, the gist of it is that, like, to him, a faggot isn't a gay person. It's a shitty person. Like, when they were young, like, back in the whatever, the 50s or 60s, like, you would call someone a faggot for being a faggot, like, when they were an asshole. And then he'd be like, oh, I have no problem with, like, a guy sucking a dick. Like, oh, yeah, come over and suck my dick.
Ew, but, like, no. The history of the word faggot is full of many misconceptions, actually, but for the most part, it is very depressing. To start, yes, the word faggot does refer to a bundle of sticks, but the fact that they were a bunch of sticks used to burn gay people at the stake, which is commonly heard, is actually an urban legend. In Christian Europe, gay people were burned, but in England, where the word starts to be linked to gay men, when Parliament had made being gay like a capital offense, they would actually be hung and not burned. This is obviously horrifying and depressing to talk about, but the link between the bundle of sticks and gay men may be once again more linked to sexism than anything else. So faggot was an abusive term used towards older women in the 1600s. And because, if you notice, offensive words towards queer men is usually based in sexism, i.e. calling us queens or sissies, this could be the link. Another theory is that faggots, i.e. this bundle of sticks, were extremely awkward to carry and awkward to have around, traits that heteronormative society have placed on gay men. The main takeaway now is that faggot is a term continually used by men to assert their masculinity over another man. By comparing another man to a gay man, they are calling them weak, feminine and not straight. Studies show the term is still extremely common among young boys who use it as a form of gender policing, saying it to other men who don't prescribe to the typical masculine ideals society tells men to be. One study actually found the term faggot was much more common among white boys using it against other white boys, whereas black boys, for example, in this study, were less concerned with gender policing other boys and were more likely to make fun of another boy who wasn't acting black enough. All in all, it is an incredibly horrible term to use, and yes, it does mean a bundle of sticks, but it wasn't necessarily linked directly to burning gay men and is more rooted in sexism.
So yeah, like looking back, I mean, like it's hard to say now because I do think no matter what, lots of comedy ages, even if it's not like that could be a homophobic joke, but a lot of comedy that isn't even necessarily homophobic sexist or ageist or racist may not age well. And so it's hard to look back. That's an old comedy special, maybe one of his first, I'm not sure. And I wasn't super offended at the time, but it's also interesting just because I was also, you know, I had not been out for so long, I guess.
And yeah, and I think all you do is learn about what it like.
And like for a straight man to be the person who gets to decide how that word is used, I think it would be very clear. I mean, actually, I don't know. Does Louis C.K. say the N-word?
I hope not.
I don't actually know, but I'm like trying to make the equivalence, like, because I feel like the N-word is established in a way where it's like, don't say that. But for some reason, like, faggot.
Yeah, like Eminem just said that.
Like, it's almost like society hasn't turned. It's like people still use that. Not that people don't use the N-word ever, but I don't know.
It was less loaded maybe in the oppression. Like, you know what I mean? Like it is a different term. Like, they're not really worth comparing.
The response, I don't know. Yeah, it's really not worth comparing other than just to say, like, he was able to get away with it, and it was almost defining how I should react to it. You know, I'm sure there were gay men who have different feelings even when they first saw it, but to come from like a straight man's mouth being like, yeah, I can use this word when I say it this way, haha, let me say it over and over and over because I'm actually calling
someone a dick. And guys in the like, I'm not homophobic, but you made a video about that.
Yeah.
I'm not homophobic, but that's exactly what he did. He said, I love gay people, but if you're being a fag, you're being a bigot.
He was trying to make the argument that the word itself had just become
He's never been called a faggot.
Which is the same thing as calling someone like the R word, right? Like that word's really cringy. It's really awful. And it also you shouldn't be synonymous with like something bad or something stupid or something whatever. Like when people say that word, that's why others get offended, because they're like, there are people in this world that suffer mental disabilities or maybe have Down syndrome or whatever. Don't use that word, because that word was associated with those people. Same with like faggot. It's associated with gay people no matter what we do. And if you're using it as a term to mean shitty, just stop doing that.
Yeah. So you don't. Yeah. He should not have said that joke is what you're saying, or you're confused about because you don't know.
No, I agree. He shouldn't have said it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I have a full opinion on it, because at the time I do think I thought it was funny.
Okay. Well, I do. He shouldn't have said that word. Because it makes so much sense to me. He's not the one who should be allowed to make those jokes. And this kind of leads into my story time. Are you done?
I guess mine wasn't so much a story. It was just like, I remember that distinctly.
Yeah, I remember that distinctly too. I remember that joke. It made me so upset because I remember thinking he was really funny that whole time I watched that special. And then as soon as he said that, it was like the air was sucked out of it for me. I was
to
like,
to be fair,
why?
I also, not to like ramble about this, but I remember then watching his TV show, and I think he addressed it with like some other comedian, like a gay comedian.
Yeah, there was a white gay there.
And yeah. I think that was maybe him trying to be like, okay, I get that I wouldn't do this joke now.
Okay.
Not to defend Louis C.K.
Honestly, Louis C.K., like the more that you even saying that makes me mad too. Because, my story time is about, I'm doing stand-up comedy now. I think it's giving me a little bit more extra like,
you understand the industry now. Like you're in it.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I'm so like,
you do
like,
though.
Dark
like,
bars.
I'm only ever so slightly involved because I see you, but like some world that we were never part of, now you're like actively in every week.
And so I like only make sure that I invite you to actual good comedy shows, ones that don't like make you feel like, you know, like you've just been literally verbally attacked, which happens quite a bit. And that's what my story is about. So there is this show. It happens on Sunday nights, and I go to it because it's a very interesting place to try my very, like, you know, queer social justice jokes, which work so well in specific spaces. But I'm curious the way that, like, for predominantly, like, straight white men will respond to my jokes.
25 years ago in 1993, the first ever openly gay comic performed on American television. Her name was Lea Delaria, and you may otherwise know her as Big Boo from Orange is the New Black. Within 4 minutes of her set, she had said the words dyke, fag, and queer 47 times, hoping to impact gay visibility by, quote, not just opening the door, but blowing the fucking door off with a blowtorch. But even for her today, comedy remains the last bastion of homophobia and sexism, a sphere where openly declaring one's prejudices is received with laughs instead of derision. For a long time, even some of the more known queer comedians of today, like Ellen DeGeneres or Wanda Sykes, were closeted until they had gained mainstream success. And while gay people may not be openly mocked in comedy specials anymore, like in this clip by Eddie Murphy.
You can not, I did a lot of jokes about homosexuals about a couple years ago, and faggots were mad. They were like, and they were, it's nothing like having a nation of fags looking for you. I'd be at parties, there's always two or three homosexuals at a party, and they'd be standing around looking at you. They'd be looking at you. He's an asshole.
Homophobic jokes are still rampant. Even people like Jimmy Kimmel mocked Sean Hannity for being Donald Trump's bottom, and Stephen Colbert called the president's mouth Putin's cock holster. So we wanted to take a second to simply shout out some of our favorite gay comics right now, many of which Greg has introduced me to by being in the comedy world. People like Julio Torres, John Early, Patty Harrison, Joel Kim Booster, and Sam J. Go check them out on the internet and in person wherever you can.
And it's a good place to test that out. And so it's
so you're going there to like practice and be like, do other people that are outside of my community?
Yeah, and also it's like low stakes because I actually don't give a shit about these people. That sounds so rude, but like there are like there's no that's so
well
rude.
You obviously give
there
a
are
shit.
People there you're are people going. There who I give a shit about, but I'm what I'm trying to talk about is that there are people there who are actually types of people that they scare me. They literally scare me, and they I don't know if they call themselves comedians, but they're there every week and they go up, and I'm not exaggerating. They don't tell jokes. They speak angrily. It's so weird. There's three people in particular who go up week after week and they talk about like a bitch they met on a date. Like they'll say that. Like they'll talk about sluts. They'll talk in this way that's like so disgusting, and like they laugh at each other's jokes, so it's very insular. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of really great comics that come through there that sometimes they laugh, and actually some of them I've gotten to know and I talked to them after. I'm like, why do you laugh? Like, and they're like, well, you know, it's actually just so bad that they laugh because they're just like, how are these people real?
Because what, you think that they're, is it because they're relying on these kind of like extreme words to get the basic laugh that you can get if you say
yes.
Like, fuck
if you,
you.
Say,
like, if
yeah,
you
like,
say something extreme.
Exactly. Right. And so it's people like, it's honestly like Louis C.K. saying that faggot joke, which I know prior to this, a lot of people would be like, he's so smart. He is good at subversion. He's not a bad comic, but he gives people this like, umph to think they can do it,
right.
And when they can't, it's awful. And so that's the thing, like those people probably love Louis C.K. and yeah, Louis C.K. is maybe like a bajillion times smarter than these people, but they're trying to be Louis C.K. so they're
trying
to
subvert.
And they think
that gives permission that like, yeah, we can say these words because it's so clever, when it's like, well, you're not the clever one. Like, you haven't thought of a clever way.
No, they're like,
or
literally they don't tell. That's the other thing. I'm like, on top of it all, like when I go up and do my things, people laugh because I'm actually like, it's not even like I'm tooting my own toot. I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm literally just like, I thought about the punchline. Like, there's not punchlines.
Like, you sat down and wrote for a while.
Yeah, it doesn't even, like, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But sometimes people go like, and I'm like, okay, that didn't work. But at least I went, bleh. Like, for them, right. I'm literally, like, jaw agape. Like, I want to kill myself. And I, like, people don't believe me because I don't bring people here. But my friend Kaylee came recently because she was, like, had nothing to do on a Sunday. And, like, literally she was squirming. It was, like, and it was a bad one.
So awkward.
My specific story, just before we get into this, is trying to paint a picture for people to understand that stand-up comedy is a really weird place. And so once, it was this night, I was so excited because there were four female comics who I looked up to who were sitting in front of me at this show, where it's predominantly usually men, and men who I don't, you know, have respect for. So like the fact they were there, I'm like, okay, when I perform, I'm gonna listen for them, for their laughter. They're gonna watch my jokes. Like, this is exciting. Maybe I'll get to know them. Mm-hmm. And the guy went up before and he did the most again, no jokes, making fun of like a hairy vagina, like how gross it is to like go down on a girl, like just awful things. And these four girls start whispering to each other and they decide to get up and leave. Mm-hmm. So I get up and leave and I go up to them and I'm like, oh my God, hey, just like, that was crazy. And they're like, that was crazy. They're like, we're not going to spend our time here. Mm-hmm. We're going to go across the street and the four of us are going to write jokes together.
Right.
And they were like, you can, that actually they didn't invite me. I probably would have gone and invited me.
I love how you're like, and then they were like, you can come.
Yeah. But no, I was like, good for you. Like, yeah. That's disgusting. And so I went back in, and the guy who went after was making fun of those four girls who left. He said that they smelt like BO. He said that they were, he literally verbally assaulted them after they left. And then he made fucked up gay jokes. So then I was like, okay, then I'm going to leave. So I left because I was so uncomfortable. And again, I'm doing this all to myself. Like, no one, I don't need to be going here on a Sunday. I left because he said faggot and he said this weird joke and I went outside and then I was actually next, but I had left. Mm-hmm. So when I came in, people were like, Greg Brown. And some, and they were like, okay, I'll go to the next person. The next person went up and then they were like mad because I had like screwed up the order. And I was like, I'm here. And then they like kind of bombed and were like, it's because I didn't know I was going up.
Oh, right.
Okay. And then I went up and I did my Jordan Peterson jokes. And just for anyone who doesn't know, so Jordan Peterson dark. Is a pseudoscientist who speaks in absolutes. But yeah, no. And I just think it's just so important that people know that. And I think it's going to lead into our debate, which is that there doesn't, that isn't necessary. Louis C.K., again, into our, in our debate, is not necessary.
Okay, let's pause there because we're going into our debate like,
hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We obviously both have strong opinions against the CK, but like we have slightly different opinions that we're going to debate through. So after we come back from our little break, we will get to the debate. So for a debate,
debate time.
We have 2 points. They're not so different. But Greg, what are you?
Mitch loves Louis C.K.
No, what point are you fighting for here?
So I don't know if fighting is the right word. I think that Louis C.K. should not be a comedian anymore.
Okay, and my point of view is that he can try to be a comedian, but then everyone needs to accept that people are going to like shit on him for that and be really pissed. He has to accept it, and everyone arguing about it has to accept it.
Okay, can
which
I go
we
first?
Can talk about the nuance. Well, I want to clarify for people who don't know what happened. So let's quickly explain. Like, he just recently went back and did a stand-up.
The Comedy Cellar, which is a famous comedy club. I think it's 8 months after admitting to sexual
not
assault.
Even just admit it, like he got called out for it.
Oh, sorry.
And
but
then,
also,
and then
but also
admitted. Yeah.
But admitting in a tweet that he's going to step back. Yeah. He said, I'm going to step back. It's my time to now listen.
Right. And so I think a lot of the like public online discussion that I saw was like, you know, we have to let people be forgiven and like we can't just be mad at someone forever. They have to be able to grow from this and blah, blah, blah. So that's the base of where our conversation is coming from. But yeah, you can take it off if you want.
Okay. So the first thing I'm going to say is I think I'm going to attack this as someone who has started to do comedy. Okay. Louis C.K., right? He is arguably one of the most famous comedians in the world.
I think he was the most successful comedian.
Yeah, he would sell out our version of like whatever your biggest stadium is where like Beyonce would perform just to tell comedy. Mm-hmm. That is a luxury. That is an amazing, amazing situation to be in. As someone who does comedy, it does not mean he is the funniest comedian in the world at all.
No, of course
there
not.
Are many people who, even in Toronto, who I personally think are much funnier than Louis C.K. What Louis C.K. was good at was being marketable to many people. He was extremely funny, that's fair to say. But the actual fact that he was able to do that means so many other stars aligned from behind. The industry, as we talked about, he worked hard, he networked, he got to where he was with a lot of work. It does not mean he's the funniest comedian.
Right. That's like musicians. Like, just because you're the most famous doesn't mean
exactly.
you're the best musician.
And that's a luxury. That is something that I think so many people want, that you can make mistakes like what he did. And those types of mistakes should, in my opinion, make you not be able to continue to live that luxury.
Right.
Another
there
thing
should
I would
be consequences.
There should be consequences. And I'm not saying, because I don't under, I'm when it comes to justice and it comes to the law, I mean, there's that's so much more confusing. I think when it comes to the luxury of the amount of success that he had, he should lose it. And I do not think he should be a comedian anymore because he already abused that power that he had. And I think that it is okay for him to now no longer be a voice that anyone has to listen to, because frankly, there are many other people like him who haven't done those awful things and abused their power, who are just as funny. And those are voices we can listen to. The other thing I want to say, which is again about being a comedian, is that when you're a comedian and you're a good comedian, you talk and you subvert the things that are going on in your world. He did not once mentioned in his 15-minute stand-up set that he did recently anything about the allegations.
Right. He didn't address it.
He didn't address it. And in my opinion,
have you listened? I haven't listened to it.
It's not live. You can't listen to it. But people said it was about, he talked about weight. He talked about racism and like tipping waiters. It was not brought up. And in my opinion, 8 months is not long enough for him to think he can come back.
Not even address it.
And not even address it. In my opinion, I'm like, sorry, buddy, but even from a comedy standpoint, you lost. Because the only way that you can be a comedian and ignore that is if you know you've done something wrong and you know you're actually not good enough to deserve to come back. And like if you know what I mean, people are like, he's the best, he needs to come back. It's like, you know what? If he was the best, in my opinion, he would have actually spoken about it. Hmm. And he didn't. He took the easy road. And the other, I mean, you can come back in with opinions. The other thing I want to talk about is it's like, he is the person we're talking about. People are supporting him. The victims of what he did are the people who they don't
suffering.
Gain anything.
Yeah.
They were trolled online by all these people. Their whole lives are in ruins.
Their
people
careers
don't even know
might
their
have
names.
Been ruined before this even happened, because didn't he kind of like...
Because he's threatened them. Yeah. Yeah. So my point is that here we are making a whole podcast about his name again.
Right.
This is a point that I've taken. Rachel actually showed me an article like explaining this exact point. Like, we're not talking about the victims of what he did. We're talking about him.
Right.
And he's being defended and he's being hated on, but all publicity is good publicity.
Right.
And it's just like, he needs to go. He needs to not do comedy.
I agree. Like, so I'm not going to like sit here and really argue with you. Like, we're mostly on the same side, because what's frustrating to me in that same vein is people defending him and being like, he's allowed to come back. And like, it's been a while, but it's like, first of all, it has been 8 months. Like, and we can also forgive someone, but then not forget. You know that phrase, like, you forgive, but you don't forget. Like, I don't think he has the right to just suddenly be back at comedy. Like, that's definitely not what my point is. I guess what my point is was, I was seeing this argument over like, people need to redeem themselves, and I do think, okay, that is not an invalid argument, but I just don't think it's relevant to Louis C.K.
And don't you think redeeming
like
yourself?
If I've made a mistake, like we said, things 10 years ago, I probably said like words and things that I would regret now, but I was much younger and didn't know, as many people would. And I do believe if someone heard those or knew that about me, they should be going, okay, well, he's grown. It's been 10 years. He doesn't say those things anymore. You know, like, growing and forgiveness are part of like a bit of the problem in this world, but at the extreme end, like, he was sexually assaulting like so many people that it's like,
and abusing his power as
abusing
a comedian.
His power that it's like, okay, we don't need, like, he can do that, but like, there shouldn't be an army of people defending him. Because yeah, you might be saying like, oh, but he's a good comedian. Like, it's kind of like when directors, I think, like, there's been a couple directors that have been accused of, whether it's like misconduct in all sorts of ways. It's like, do you still support their art? Do you still watch the things that they do? Because like, technically their art is nothing to do with them. But I don't know. I'm just like, there's so many other people. Like,
exactly.
There's no lack of talent in this world. And becoming famous is a variety of factors. Like, of course, it's like, you are talented, but even if 1% of people are talented, that's still like millions of people who could fill that role who just didn't necessarily get the same path you got. They didn't necessarily have the luck or the privilege or the whatever path that led you there. And it sucks that he's done this horrible thing, and then so many people are like, no, but he's so talented, we have to let him, like, we have to forgive him. And it's like, well, there's so many talented people. Like, we're not even giving them a first chance, but we're going to give him a second chance. So I was most frustrated, and I think my debate argument was more around, I don't know that we're really going to argue over anything, but my debate argument was like, okay, I don't think he can't be a comedian, but I'm frustrated by the societal discussion that's more like, we should forgive him. And I'm like, no, we should be shunning him. Like, he should be reminded that he should be shamed, and it should be the loudest discussion so that other comedians, other men or women, no matter what you are, you shouldn't sexually assault people or abuse your power in that way. And that's an important message in a field that is so predominantly filled with men, I think. And you've always talked about that, like,
yeah,
comedy
for sure.
As a field. So that's the frustrating part to me. I'm like, no, I don't want to, unless the law says, this is like, as you said, I don't know the law, so I don't know like what is
and even imposed
the
law
upon him.
Is so, it's just right. Like, there's no point
it's designed
to even
by people,
get it, yeah.
But all I mean is like, I cannot physically force Louis C.K. to stop performing. So, but at the end of the day, I can make my voice heard against him, or I can shun him and make that a message that other people hear. And so that's why I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know that we can stop some, like, it would be maybe unfair to physically say this person can no longer do this. Like, fine, he can
imagine
do
the law court case was like, you can't do comedy, meeting adjourned.
Exactly,
or
like, no one can do that. And that's why people are like, oh, there needs to be like freedom of speech and all this stuff, like the government can't just stop someone from doing something. But I mean, at the same time, he's a predator. Like,
that's why I'm frustrated,
like,
with
think
him.
Of other predators who don't have the access to money and fame that he does, like what they go through when this happens, when they're accused of sexual assault or anything like that. Like, they either end up in jail or their careers are ruined.
And it's interesting because comedy, like, that is actually an interesting point to think about, how like the court isn't going to go like, meeting adjourned, he can't be a comedian. Because you know what? In other actual jobs where you have to, where you don't have power, you would be shunned. You would be like, no, you actually cannot be a teacher right now. Oh, you actually cannot be a doctor because you have these specific claims against you. And I think what's frustrating is because he's a comedian and he has networked and the Comedy Cellar gave him the voice to do this. Like, there should be someone who says you can't do this. And like, how much time is enough time for him to go away? 8 months? Like,
yeah, that's like, I know, like, we shouldn't have to put a label on it. It's not like I'm going to say like, oh, 5 years is the right amount of time, but it's like, it's definitely not 8 months.
But
like,
that's why I was frustrated, because I thought maybe if he
like
actually
if he
did
come
what,
back
exactly,
and turn it into, you mean like address it?
Or if he did what he said he was going to do, which was public and we all saw, which was take time away so he could listen, right? I was thinking, okay, the best case scenario for this is that he actually is self-aware enough to think, you know what? I actually shouldn't be a comedian. There's enough discussions around comedy right now that he could easily have been like, I had my years, my millions of dollars.
Yeah, I was the most successful. That's the thing that gets me too, where I'm like, he is a crazy millionaire. And it's like, okay, I get it if you love comedy so much, but whatever. Like, you messed up. You were the top comedian for how long? And you can't
even
wait
8 months
after you got, like, so...
I don't even think it's a time of 8 months. I think, in my opinion, I was just so surprised that he had performed, because I was like, you know what? Yeah, he's done. And he's aware of that because he seems smart enough to know that he's done. And it's frustrating.
And that he'd probably only do more damage. And of course, in the same way that there's like the alt-right that supports Trump, it's like, of course people are going to latch onto this idea that like, yes, this man should be allowed to come back in regardless of sexual assault. It's, I mean, the president of the United States is also a sexual abuser. So it's like, those people are going to, like, if he's a smart person who's compassionate and actually cares about the mistakes he made, he should understand that him stepping back and being defended, he's going to be defended by people who don't care about those issues, who are fine with sexual
assault.
And
on a micro scale, and how embarrassing is it for him that he didn't bring it up in his comedy? That's what I mean. Like, that's one of those things that I think could help, like, a lot of the men who are maybe defending him, just, like, as a comedian, just think for a second, really? Do you think he's that smart and worth it's, we really need to hear what he has to say about tipping right now? You know what I mean?
Right.
How many other people are talking about tipping and racism? You know what I mean? Like, why would we listen to him if he can't even address what's going on in his life, which would be the ultimate thing that a comedian of his stature should be able to do? And I think he's peaked. He's done. Like, and it doesn't mean that he is actually done, because he obviously felt that he was back. But I was like, seems like a smart enough person to actually go away potentially forever, live off his millions, and to do something actually worthwhile, not come back and be the forward-facing part of his comedy. Maybe he comes back with a press release and like literally does something where he's like, I'm going to prop up all these other comedians because mm-hmm. this is actually the job.
The only way
do.
That I can like have for like do
exactly.
something impactful and important from
exactly.
what happened.
But
yeah.
no, he came back and put
for himself.
His face
yeah.
in front to do a set at the Comedy Cellar, and it's like there should be backlash.
You can learn anything. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just. Yeah, and it's just like even as someone okay. in comedy, I'm like the one thing I can stress enough, and I know people can't believe me, but there are funnier people than him in Toronto who have day jobs. It's true. Like he was a really great comedian, but times have changed, and what people are talking about have changed, and humor has changed, and he wasn't able to address it, and he was talking about the same thing over again. You know, it's even if he hadn't done this, his time might have been up.
Okay.
We don't need to hear him.
That's fair. One thing to bring it back to like debate aspect of this, I want to ask you. Are you consistent in this viewpoint to every artist or person who has a history of something bad that you can no longer support? Because I'm not going to throw you under the bus by throwing out names, but I don't think there have been people that, to me, I would no longer support, but you have.
Yeah, I think that it's something that is obviously really important to have discussions around. I think it is like case-based. I think that as we move forward and as the world becomes more binary and wrought with a lot of issues, I think that realizing how important pop culture and visibility with people is now more than ever, I'm like, yeah, I do think people need to be held accountable, but it always is such an interesting nuance based on what's happening. I think Louis C.K. and a lot of these men and like the hashtag Me Too movement, I think it's like really important that we realize that it's pushing society in a better way, that there are people who are going to have to fall, and I do believe that that is what is right. And I do think that I personally, as someone who's even in this industry, now strongly believe like, yeah, like those people actually need to go away forever because this is not an industry that is regulated in the same way. And it's an industry of luxury when you make it. Mm-hmm. And so you need to treat it like that.
So you feel that you can like put that down consistently across anyone. Who,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you?
I do, but I just am thinking of an example in my head of somebody who supported that.
Yeah, well, then I wouldn't support them now.
Okay.
Is my point.
Fair. And I guess, like, back to that forgiveness question, I'm also thinking, like, he can be forgiven. It doesn't mean he now should still be the most famous comedian or most successful. Like, there's a difference between saying, like, you can forgive someone and then they should just get their power back. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
And I think, like, I know what you're saying. Like, even someone like Kanye West, for example, like, I've always defended him. Until recently when I was like, that crossed the line for me. Like, he said crazy things that were, like, actually, in my opinion, like, racist and absurd.
Like,
but
damaging.
You're right. But it's like, you know, what he did to Taylor Swift, for example, I remember always thinking, like, I love him. Like, when he said that thing about George Bush, like, I think he's actually really smart. And that Taylor Swift, not a big deal. But people might be like, that was misogynist.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a nuanced conversation that maybe I would have been able to have at the time. I was like, you know what? No, he was defending Beyonce and I love Kanye and he's like always speaking the truth. But now it's like, no, I'm like, I haven't listened, like I can't listen to Kanye West's new album because I can't do it to myself. But there were times when other people might have been like, you're crazy, Greg. Why are you defending him for yelling at Taylor Swift? That's misogyny. And I might have not like,
I guess
it
it's
like,
does that open up your mind a little bit to kind of be empathetic to some people who might have a harder time because maybe they care about the messages Louis C.K. has had or like, are empathetic to him being, you know what I mean? In the same way that maybe in the past someone might have looked at you and been like, wow, you're super sexist. Or like, that's so pathetic that you
support. I guess that's what I mean is like, I just like,
it's like a heart.
Because I've just like learned a bit more about comedy, I might have been like less aware and thought like, you know what? He's a genius, right? Like he's the
best.
But
you're like, there's so many great comedians.
Yeah, there's so many great comedians. And again, going back to that comedy part, he didn't address it. He did like a normal 15 minutes of jokes. I'm just like, that's embarrassing to me. I'm like, oh, you're not as good as like this whole he's a genius thing. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, no, I think that bothers me as well. And this like complex of like geniuses being allowed to be like assholes, like people talking about Steve Jobs is like such a dick, but like people idolize him. Like,
yeah.
it gets tiresome.
And a lot of the time,
like,
it's men.
It's an excuse for a man to do those kinds of things where it's like if a woman makes mistakes, it's like they're gone. Like,
I mean, we can't get into this because we're running out of time, but it's like the Nanette special. Men were mad about that. They're like, this wasn't funny, but it was genius. You know what I mean? It's like comedy is a really amazing platform. People are listening to you. Like comedy, I mean, this is a whole other thing. Comedy's changing. It really
is.
Yeah,
for sure.
And it's like you can be on the wrong side and you can sit there and yell, but I'm sorry, it's changing. And Louis C.K., it would probably be a lot smarter for you to have just stayed disappeared.
Just enjoy your millions.
Your
go
legacy
live on a beach somewhere.
You already have your legacy. Yeah.
And and everything else you need.
And like,
how many generations of your children's children's children are going to be fine? Like, just go chill.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. I think like that was, I mean, we weren't really debating so hard, but let us know your guys' opinions. Like if you feel very different than us or if you think the kind of the same thing, like I'm interested to see what will actually happen.
And read about it. There's so many amazing articles. Like all the points that I really had are based on what people have written. Like,
do you think that he's going to try and have a full comeback?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So many of these people are. That's the thing. Like men are really scared of the hashtag MeToo movement for whatever reason. That's a different episode. But you know what? These people, what has he lost? Really? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's actually got to do 50 minutes of Comedy Cellar. I would kill for that. Mm-hmm. Everyone in Toronto would kill for that. They're never going to get that opportunity. He already got it. He already got what millions of comedians would have wanted. He's back.
Wow. That's really depressing.
Okay, we'll see you next week. We'll do something. Okay,
yeah. Thanks for listening. Let us know what you think. At Mitchell Moffitt, at Whale Watch Me, please. As always, leave us a rating on this podcast if you can. That helps the show. And tell your friends about it.
You probably can. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, tell your friends about it. Let them know.
Hashtag Side like Note Podcast. We'll
fun
we read that.
Debate and science. And we'll see you next time.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.